My name is Andrew Cutchins. I'm director of the Russian Eurasia Program here at the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington, D.C. And with me is my colleague, Bulent Alireza, who is the director of the Turkey Project and also a senior fellow here at CSIS. We're going to be talking about the evolving Russian-Turkish relationship, and in particular, the recent visit of Mr. Putin to Turkey that took place earlier this month and its implications for the relationship. I just want to note for our listeners that earlier this year, CSIS published a report entitled Turkey's Evolving Dynamics, Strategic Choices for U.S.-Turkish Relations, which both Bulent and I participated in. I recommend that. And we'll be also be drawing on from a meeting that Bulent held earlier this month after the Putin-Erdogan meetings. So Bulent, Putin went again to Ankara, met with his colleague, Mr. Erdogan. What are the most significant achievements and what's the significance of this visit?
This is the ninth meeting in 5 years between the two prime ministers. Erdogan had previously met with Mr. Putin when he was president. He made a very important visit to Turkey. It lasted less than a day, but 20 agreements in the energy sector were concluded, some of them with short-term implications, some of them long-term implications. But clearly, the energy cooperation is really driving the relationship between Turkey and Russia. Russia is an important source of Turkish gas. Almost two-thirds of Turkish gas comes from Russia. There is a trade imbalance in the relationship. The Russians sell four times as much to the Turks as the Turks sell back to them. But nonetheless, the Turks are very happy about the relationship, although there are lots of concerns about it elsewhere.
Now, what is the Turkish position on the Nabucco pipeline? As this is something that the Russians have been opposed, it's an important component of the development of an east-west transit corridor, something we've talked about here and we held a couple of meetings about. And the Russians seem determined to develop the north-south transit corridor as their priority.
Well, you remember we had a couple of meetings 2 years ago on the east-west corridor and the emerging north-south axis. The Turks originally cooperated with the United States in developing the east-west corridor, which would not rely on either Russia or Iran in transporting Caspian region oil to world markets. The Russians were opposed to that as well. But when that was finalized in the mid-90s and eventually became the Baku Tbilisi-Ceyhan pipeline, the Russians were powerless to stop it. But immediately afterwards, the Turks signed the Blue Stream Agreement with Russia in 1997, which added to the gas that was coming from Russia through Bulgaria and Romania and made Turkey even more dependent on Russia. As we look back at the last decade, almost as much hydrocarbons have been transported through the north-south axis as through the east-west corridor. The idea behind the Nabucco project was that there would be a supply of non-Russian gas to Western Europe through Turkey. Turkey signed that agreement. The U.S. has been supportive of it, but the Turks have been saying that they would be willing to put Russian gas into that pipeline, which would defeat the object of the exercise, and have, through the recent agreements, have agreed to cooperate with the Russians on South Stream project, which is a direct rival of Nabucco. So the Turks are, in essence, saying that they would very much like to cooperate with the U.S. and with the Europeans on the east-west corridor, but without in any way prejudicing their relationship with the Russians in the north-south cooperation axis.
Does Turkey feel somewhat vulnerable to the amount of energy that they're dependent upon Russia for? As you said, about two-thirds of the natural gas is from Russia. About one-third of their oil comes from Russia. How sensitive are they to being vulnerable to Russian leverage?
Well, they had problems with Iranian supplies in the past because they've got a separate agreement with the Russians for up to 10 billion cubic meters, and the Iranians have often failed to deliver on their commitments, and the Russians have always come through. There are questions about the pricing, even on the Turkish side of Russian gas, as much as there is about the supply. The Russians have been willing to supply as much as the Turks want and have been a reliable supplier. Obviously, Turkey is a very important market for the Russians, as we can see from the imbalance in trade caused by the dependence on gas. But the security concerns have not really been brought out on the Turkish side. Unlike many Europeans who expressed some concern over Russia's ability to turn off the tap whenever they want, the Turks have been less concerned about this and have seen their dependence with Russia as part of their overall strategy of becoming an energy hub for gas and oil coming from east and going west, as well as from the north going south, because there are plans to actually develop the north-south axis to go to Israel and perhaps even beyond. And therefore, the Turks are much more concerned with the big picture, in which there's cooperation with the Russians, than possible concerns over whether the Russians, the dependence on the Russians to such an extent is actually dangerous.
Now, I think that there was a new development in the energy relationship with this past visit, and that is the agreement on civilian nuclear cooperation, that the Russians would build civilian nuclear power plants in Turkey. This has certainly been an important goal for the Russians to expand their market share of civilian nuclear development. How do you see this from the standpoint of Turkey's interests?
Turkey's been discussing building a nuclear reactor for a long time. The process is yet to be completed, but it was obviously important enough for the Russians to insist on the Turks agreeing to sign this agreement, this preliminary agreement, before Prime Minister Putin arrived. The Turks obviously are looking at the Russian option. In fact, in the recent tender, the Russians were at the forefront. In fact, were part of the only bidding team that was out there. But the story is yet to be finalized. But in addition to this, there are other things that the Russians care about. They want to get into the downstream market in Turkey. Gazprom is very insistent that it should be involved in the downstream. And perhaps in the long run, this might be even more important for the Russians in terms of their foreign earnings as the building of a nuclear reactor. They're also interested in building a refinery in Ceyhan, or being part of the team that will build the refinery. So the energy cooperation is developing in many, many areas of the energy sector. Clearly, the relationship, as I said, is led by the cooperation on energy. And frankly, we don't know how far this is going to go.
Now, you mentioned that Mr. Putin and Mr. Erdogan have met nine times now, quite often. How significant is the personal relationship between the two of them? Do you see that from Mr. Erdogan's standpoint that this is more sort of an instrumental relationship that he has with Mr. Putin, or is there a genuine chemistry, meeting of the minds, shared perspective on things?
Look, the Turkish-Russian rapprochement began before either man was in power. It began in the last days of the Cold War with Prime Minister Azov, who visited Moscow, and the agreements, the overland gas pipeline agreements, were signed in the late 80s. That developed throughout the 90s when the Blue Stream Agreement was signed. But when the AK Party, the current government, came to power in November 2002, the relationship developed. The Turks obviously saw this as part of their effort to develop good relations with their neighborhood, to increase their influence in the areas adjacent to their borders. The Russians, having become stronger under Putin, obviously saw Turkey as a very important country within their foreign policy, not least because of the Caucasus, the Caspian, areas where there was a danger of conflict with Turkey. Instead, the Russians have sought the possibility of cooperation with Turkey in these areas. Now, how that fitted into Turkey's primary relationship with the U.S. as a strategic partner is something that still has to be determined. But the personal relationship between Tayyip Erdogan and Putin is undeniable. They obviously seem to like each other. Mr. Erdogan is very direct and likes the kind of directness that Mr. Putin brings to the relationship. Unlike Washington, where there's a debate going on whether the U.S. should develop a separate partnership with President Medvedev and perhaps even put primacy on that relationship rather than on with Putin. The Turks have made up their mind that the man to deal with in Moscow is Putin. They're focusing on that relationship. And by the sound of it, that's something that Mr. Putin himself wants to encourage.
You mentioned regional security. We've just had the one-year anniversary of the Georgia War. last year, and it was quite striking in the wake of the Georgia War when Prime Minister Erdogan said to the effect that that Turkey was not going to take sides, that the United States was Turkey's most important ally, and that Russia was Turkey's most important economic partner, and nobody's going to push Turkey to one side or the other. That was a very striking comment, particularly coming from a NATO ally, Turkey. To what extent do you see the Russians and the Turks sharing a perspective on regional security, especially in the Caucasus?
Well, the kind of relationship that the Turks and Russians have developed would never have been possible in the days of the Cold War. Then the Soviet Union was the biggest threat to Turkey. And in fact, the essence of the Turkish-American cooperation was common enmity towards the Soviet Union. But the Soviet Union is no more, and Turkey is exploring ways of trying to cooperate with Russia, not just in the energy sector, not just in terms of trade, but also possibly with respect to areas of common concern like the Caucasus. For example, after the Putin visit, the Turkish foreign minister talked about Russia helping to broker a settlement of the Nagorno-Karabakh with Turkey, presumably outside the confines of the Minsk process. Turkey is an ally of the United States. It obviously cooperates with the U.S. and consults very closely on issues of common interest like the Caucasus, Georgia. But at the same time, there is a parallel track that the Turks are engaged in with Russia, where without necessarily acting in a manner that's inimical to Washington, they're exploring ways of developing their relationship. Now, if I were Mr. Saakashvili looking at this relationship, I'd be extremely concerned. That might apply to other countries. The Armenians might be wondering exactly where the Turks are going with the Russians. President Aliyev in Baku may have concerns as well, because the Turks and the Azeris have been very close as two fraternal countries in the past. The outlines of the regional cooperative relationship between Turkey and Russia with respect to the Caucasus are not there yet. Nonetheless, there seems to be a willingness on both sides to consult closely with each other, as you said, not least with the Turkish proposal for a stability pact immediately after the Georgia War. And Turkey is obviously trying to balance this relationship with the U.S. on the one side, its main ally, and with Russia on the other. But that's a difficult thing to do when there are tensions between Washington and Moscow of the kind that we're living through once again with President Obama.
Well, this brings me to my last question, Bulent. To what extent should the Obama administration be concerned about the Turkish-Russian rapprochement, and what is your top one or two or three recommendations to the administration to deal with this?
The Turks really don't want to be put in a situation of either choosing Washington or Moscow. The worst thing that the Obama administration could do is to try to force the Turks to take a position against the Russians, be it with the Nabucco project or any other aspect of their energy relationship. Clearly, the Turks have made up their mind that this is something that they wish to do, and they will find a way to try and make their increasing cooperation with the Russians in the north-south axis with their cooperation with the U.S. on the further development of the east-west corridor, not least with Nabucco. Now, the U.S. could actually try and take advantage of Turkey's what we can now call special relationship with the Russians. Now, some people have actually talked about it being a second strategic partnership parallel to the one that Turkey has with the U.S. We're not at that point yet, but nonetheless, Turkey's in a position to ensure that the Russians listen to them when issues come up. So in addition to other channels, the Obama administration could certainly use the Turkish channel in areas that they might not have used in the past. Now, in terms of the Caucasus, I think there's a fundamental disagreement between Turkey and the United States when it comes to Georgia. Turkey's done a great deal in the past to develop the Georgian state, has developed special relationships with Georgia, especially with respect to Abkhazia. The airport of Batumi is treated as a domestic airport on the Turkish airline grid. Lots of economic aid has been given, and even military training has been given in the past. Nonetheless, the Turks have not taken as tough a stand as the U.S. After the Russian-Georgian War and the Declaration of Independence by Abkhazia and South Ossetia. Turkey does not recognize them, but nonetheless has not been particularly vocal in opposing it. So as we proceed into the next phase of the crises be it in Georgia or in the caucuses overall, I think the U.S. could actually gain a great deal from Turkey's ability to get Russia to listen to it.
This sounds like a set of issues where the administration is really going to require some smart power. Bulent, thanks very much for sharing your thoughts with me today, and we look forward to revisiting these questions with you in the future.
Thank you.